No, the tearjerker was worshiping my God this morning for how good He is. We have a good God. And I am so thankful that He loves me enough to let me worship Him. He allows me that privilege, that honor. And I love you, Lord. I thank you. We have a good God. Amen. Grab your Bibles and go to the book of James. We'll eventually get there. We won't get there right now, but we'll eventually get there. And I got to... didn't want to do that in the microphone. I will try to compose myself to the best of my ability. So as we go to the book of James, I want to ask the question, when I say the word graduation, what do you think of? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Webster's defines graduation in three different ways. It has three different definitions there. Actually, it has four, but I just chose three of the four. And the first one I can relate to because I do this at work. First one is, it's the act of marking with degrees, such as a graduated cylinder. Does anyone else here use graduated cylinders on a daily basis? Oh, Miss Lucy, you do. I didn't know that. Huh? You use two graduated cylinders? Oh, you used to. Okay, you use two. That's weird. I use one. Okay. How does that work exactly? Does anybody even know what a graduated cylinder is? Some of you do. Okay. Huh? Yeah, all right, woohoo! All right, go chemistry people. All right, so that's something I do for a living, is I mess with chemistry stuff. And so we use graduated cylinders. But when I say graduation, that's not the first thing that comes to your mind. You don't think of, you know, Brother Tim over there with the safety glasses, you know, looking at a graduated cylinder, measuring out a certain amount of volume, and that's not your first thought. That might be now, but it wasn't before that. Second definition. This one's really interesting. I've never heard this definition before for graduation. It's the process of bringing a liquid to a certain consistency by evaporation. Has anybody heard that before? It's a new one. That's a new one on me. So if I said the word graduation, I guarantee you did not think of that. But this is the last one. This is the one that everybody thinks of. The act of conferring or receiving academic degrees. Is that what everyone thinks of when I say graduation? Yes? Then what do you guys think of? There's only one person that thought this. Is anyone else? I need interaction. Is that what everyone thinks of? Yes? Okay, thank you. Good. I just want to make sure that, first off, you can hear me. And second, that you are interacting with me. I need that. I'm a very needy individual. I need interaction. So please, interact, or else we'll stop everything and go all over it again. And then it'd take twice as long as what it should. And that'd be bad. So the term graduation actually invokes different reactions, different emotions, and different thoughts. And I'll prove that. So I'm going to ask three people, two of which I've already prompted, but the third person I haven't. So this ought to be exciting. All right, so Brother Curtis, when I say graduation, what do you think of? Okay, so when I say graduation, that's what he thinks of. The end of something, the beginning of something. Turning of a page, right? Okay, so Miss Courtney, where's Miss Courtney? What do you think of when I say graduation?
I think of growth, not just physical, but emotional and mental.
Okay, so that is from a preschool director, from an educator, a teacher. Okay, that's how she looks at graduation. We heard from a parent what graduation looks like. Now I'm going to ask a graduate. Tyler, what does graduation mean to you? I'm done. Go to the house, baby. We're out of here, right? Yeah. All right. So, now we've heard from a graduate, the parents, and the teacher. Now, how many here can relate to all three of those? Yeah, we can relate to all three of them. If you have already graduated, you can if you've graduated, depending on where you are in your life, you can relate to those different areas. So, let me ask you. So, Tyler, I've already picked on you once. I'm going to do it a few more times, just because I like picking on you, and you're not afraid of my questions. You ready? Here we go. So, Tyler, what allowed you to graduate from the School of Public Education? What allowed you to graduate? Hard work, effort, really? So all I got to do is put in hard work and effort and then I graduate? What did you have to do to prove that you could graduate? You had to pass what? Test. So our education system gave you specific tests requiring you to pass those tests in order to graduate, right? Because what are those tests supposed to say? Okay. That's the thing. How well you understood it. So the test is to prove that you understood something, right? And that you're able to apply it in life. That's the point of test. So for those of you that are still in school, I know that you think that tests are actually there to destroy your social life, to absolutely suck the fun out of life, and that they're there to give you a headache and to cause stress. That's not a true statement, okay? They're actually there to see if you have actually learned something. And so, because you passed those tests, you were given, you proved that you understand the knowledge. You have a good working ability. So, guess what? I'm going to test you again this morning. Ready? Here we go. All right. Mathematics. This is going to be easy. Here we go. I promise these will be easy. Ready? What's 2 plus 2? Good. Okay, what's 10 times 10? All right. You need to stay in school. All right. So you passed the mathematics part of that. Let's go with spelling. Here we go, spelling. All right, listen closely. I want you to pronounce this word for me. If you can't pronounce this word, you have issues. Ready? W-E-L-D-I-N-G. Welding. Now, why is it that you should know that word? That's a career path. All right. So, now, here's another word. I want you to spell hyperdispensationalism. I'm just kidding. does anybody here know how to spell hyperdispensationalism? Does anybody here even know how to say that word? They come up with words, I think, just to mess up your mind. Like fluxionoxynihilification, or what's the other word you always say, babe? That big, long word that I can't say. I can't even pronounce it, so I can't. That one there, I can't even begin to say that word. Long words. So, but the point is, they didn't ask you to spell those because those aren't really necessary in life, right? You don't need those. You ain't going to see on a board somewhere saying, you know, go. You're not going to see that. So, not necessary. Let's go to social studies / let's stick with social studies area, I guess. I think it's classified as social studies. If it's not, then educators correct me because I'm not sure what topic this falls under. So, capitals and stuff. Does that fall under social studies? What does that fall under? I don't know. Cody, what does that fall under? You're a vice principal. social studies? Not capital letters. We all graduated. All right. Social studies. Okay, ready? Ready? Here we go, Tyler. What is our nation, the USA, what is our nation's capital? If you don't know this one, you're going back to school. Very good. Washington, D.C. All right. Let's bring it home a little closer. What's the capital of Texas? What's the capital of the state that you live in? Ready? Austin. Very good. I thought he was going to say Dallas. Fun fact for you, though, Dallas actually at one point in time was the capital of Texas, and there were several other cities that were the capitals of Texas for... Go back and look at it. It's really interesting. Texas is one of the few states that ever did that. Changed their capital. Anyway, so the point is, because you've learned all the necessary requirements that have been imposed on you by the state of Texas, you graduated, right? You passed all those tests. So let's go back to what we asked and what your dad actually said. Graduation is not just simply finishing something. Graduation is finishing one phase of life, but it also marks the beginning of another phase or season in your life. All right? Tyler and... There he is. I have a light shining right in my face. So sorry about that. All right. So we actually have two graduates in here today. We have Tyler. And you've grown up in this church, right? Your whole life. Right? Were you born... Where's Dad? He wasn't born here. Where was he born? 6 months. You grew up in this church. Okay, I mean, 6 months, really? Really? I mean. Anyway, then we have Emmanuel. Emmanuel started coming, how many years ago? A while back, right? Second grade, all right? So, been here for some time. Now, in your life, gentlemen, in your life, at least three times in your life, there's going to be a sermon that has been tailored to you. One of those times will be when you die. There'll be a sermon that's tailored to you. When you die, it will happen. Second, when you get married, there's going to be a message that's going to be tailored to you when you get married. And third, when you graduate. So guess what this sermon is for? You up. It's about you guys. All right? So this sermon is tailored to you, but congregation, those of us that are in here, follow along with the journey, if you would. Because there's application for all of us. It isn't just about the graduates that need to learn some things. There's some things that we need to learn. Graduation, as it says up on the board here, or the board, the screen, graduation is reaching the end of one stage of learning in preparation for the next stage of learning. Tyler, you said that I'm done. You're right with that. Welcome to life. Parents, would you agree with that? Yes?
Yes.
All right. If you have not yet graduated, teens, if you haven't graduated yet, that statement means nothing to you. But if you've graduated, that statement means everything to you, right? Let's talk to a graduate who graduated just last year. Ellis, you graduated last year, right? Is things a little bit different this year than they were the year before? Yeah. Whole new world, right? Yeah, whole new world. Because of that graduation. Have you learned more lessons this year than you thought you were going to learn? Probably. You probably didn't think about how many lessons you're going to learn, right? All right. So that's a fair answer. So with this right here, I want to just speak for a while about this right here. Graduation is reaching the end of one stage of learning in preparation for the next stage of learning. That is graduation. And I can tell you that in graduation, when we stop to think, whew, I'm done, that's only half the thought process we should have. Next slide, if you would, on the next one. So the purpose of graduation is twofold. First off, it's for remembering and it's for preparing. There's a lot of pomp and circumstance that goes into graduation. And I'm not just talking about the song pomp and circumstance. There's a lot of things that goes into graduation. Those parents of you who have children who have graduated, you understand that, right? My children, thankfully, are not yet graduating. We were at the graduation ceremony on Friday, and my daughter, who is 13, looks at me and says, "Hey, Daddy, I'll be there in a few years." Do we really got to talk about that now? I'm not ready for that. I said, it's going to be 5 years. That's a sobering thought. I looked at her, I said, baby, that means daddy has 5 years to pour a lot of information into you. Oh, you don't know. I said, okay, do you know how to go rent an apartment? No. We got a lot to learn then, don't we? Okay. So the point is, I'm not ready for my child to graduate. Curtis, Sarah, were you guys ready for him to graduate?
Yeah.
I knew that was going to happen. So, there'll be counseling after services. Oh my goodness. Okay, so continuing on, now that I completely distracted myself. The purpose of graduation is to remember and to prepare. That's the purpose of graduation. All right? So, a lot of times, here's what happens. There is an incorrect behavior in graduation. And here's why. We focus so much on the graduate, on what the graduate has accomplished, what he has done or she has done. But what happens is that we fail, because we focus so much on that, we fail to see all the behind-the-scenes work that was done to help the graduate graduate. You didn't graduate because of your hard work and your study. That was only a portion of it. The only reason why you guys graduated is because there was people behind you, people with you, helping you along to learn. Was there times that you didn't want to go to school in the past 13 years of education? Who made you go to school? Your parents. I've done that with my kids. I don't care if you want to go to school. Get out of bed, you pick them up, and get dressed. Right? Parents, does that sound familiar? Or am I the only one that's ever happened to? I am the only one that's ever happened to. Oh, my word. We've got a lot to work on. Where your children don't want to get up, but parents, you make them get up, and you get them out the door, and you get them off to school. Graduates, that's because somebody loved you enough to force you to go to school and learn. Right? They love you that much. And at the time, it doesn't feel like they love you. It feels like they hate you. But they truly do love you. All of the hours, you don't realize how many hours it takes for your teachers to prepare to teach you. You have no idea. You may think, oh, they just come to school and that's that. My wife is a preschool teacher here at our preschool. And there are hours and hours and hours of preparation to teach kids, to teach little guys, like four-year-olds. And I'm like, I can't imagine how much work it takes to prepare to teach high schoolers. I have no idea. Because the preparation that is there takes hours. We have high school teachers in here, right? I can barely see everything. You're a principal now, but you were a high school teacher for many years, right? How many hours did it take you on average to prepare for your week?
Just
a lot. Yeah, more than just one or two, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It isn't like just, hey, I'm going home tonight and hitting the bed. Woohoo! No, you gotta go home, you gotta grade tests, you gotta read assignments. You got to go through all that stuff and look at, this kid is not doing so well. I need to talk to their parents about this one. Their grades, they're going to fail if they don't. And there's all that stuff, right? So, there's a lot that went into you guys' graduation. Years. Thousands of hours of teachers pouring into you, and you didn't even know it. You had no idea behind the scenes. So what happens when we focus just solely on what the graduate has done and what they have accomplished? What that actually does is that actually puffs up the pride inside them. Look what I've done. And you completely forgot about all the people that got you there. You didn't do it on your own. Not at all. See, and here's the big thing. Whenever we say, make that statement, I'm done. Look what I've done. I've accomplished it. You completely just left God out of that statement. You have now just taken all the glory that God has done in your life for yourself and put God on the back burner. You just blasphemed the God that you love. Whenever we take for ourselves the glory that belongs to God, that's blasphemy. It really is. Because God said that He is very jealous about His glory. The glory belongs to Him, not to us. See, what we get the good, and He's supposed to get the glory. That's how that relationship works. It's like with salvation. None of us can get to heaven by being a good person, by doing good works, by going to church, by putting money in the offering, by getting baptized, by helping the children, by feeding the poor, by getting, and the list goes on. Those are works. Ephesians tells us it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. So that means there's absolutely nothing that we can do ourselves to save ourselves from separation from God, from eternal damnation in a place called hell. We can't save ourselves from our sins. We can't save ourselves from the punishment of sins. We can't save ourselves from any aspect of sin. But Jesus can. And that's why Jesus came. He came so that He can be the Savior of the world. Because of that, we receive the salvation. We receive the goodness of God. Like we sung a moment ago in the song. In all my life, You have been faithful. In all my life, You have been so, so good. The faithfulness of God demonstrates to us that we cannot be enough in and of ourselves. But Jesus is enough. And He deserves the glory. We get the good. He gets the glory. I will stand one day in His presence in heaven, and I will either hug the neck of Jesus, I will fall at His feet and hug His feet. I don't know what I will do. As that song says, I can only imagine. But I can tell you this, something that I will do for a fact is I will say, thank You, Jesus, for saving a sinner like me. Amen. You deserve the glory. You deserve the praise. You deserve my worship. And I love You for loving me first. Amen. He deserves the glory. Not us. There's nothing we do deserves glory. Amen. Everything that we have, everything that we have accomplished is nothing more than a gift from God. Amen. Graduation for you gentlemen is something that God has done in your lives. The question is, have you taken the time to recognize it? Have you taken the time to recognize God's goodness in your life? If not, you need to do so this morning. Stop and recall. Graduation is for the purpose of remembering. So here's some things I want you to remember. First off, graduation should be a time of remembrance. You should be remembering who God has sent to teach you. See, God placed certain people in your life to teach you. Can you think of some of those people? I mentioned a few. Teachers, parents, pastors, Sunday school teachers, friends, counselors. So many different people that God has placed in your life on purpose, for a purpose. Have you taken the time to thank God for those people? See, God never intended anybody in this room, anywhere in this entire globe, God has never intended one person to live life alone. I'm not talking about getting married. I'm talking about just being alone. Did you know that every single person was created to need another person? Brother Tim proved that. Okay, go to Matthew. And Jesus talks, and then Mark as well, where Jesus said, this is the first and great commandment. What is it? to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy mind. But the second is what? Love thy neighbor as thyself. God created us for those two reasons. To love Him and to love others. You need people in your life. You say, oh, I don't like people. I like to stay away. I'm a recluse. And I like to be in the cabin by myself. And I don't want anybody just... You can add excuses if you want them. But God created you to need people. You need people. I promise you. You do. Last night in discipleship, I was talking with my nephew and his wife. And she made the statement, Savannah did, about their baby. They have a... How old is she now? 8 months old baby. And she was talking about... She goes, I have realized that she needs me. That if I don't do everything for her, she will die. I said, Savannah, have you ever stopped to think that that's the same relationship that you have with God? If God didn't give you everything that you have, you'd die. No, not, I didn't realize that. Mm-hmm. Just like your daughter needs you, you need people too. Everyone in this room needs people. We all do. That's what God made us. No, I'm self-reliant. I don't need anybody. And you are arrogant and prideful, and God will humble you. You need people. You need people. There is no such thing as a self-made person. It doesn't happen. There is no such thing as a completely independent person of everybody. You still need people. You need people. So as you remember, let me ask you, have you thought about all the people that God has used to help you to graduate? Because if you were to take the time to thank all those people and write a card, you're going to spend a lot of money and a lot of time. It's because God has used a lot of people. A lot of people. So you need to thank God for those people, even though you may not remember their names. I remember in high school, actually back up in junior high, I had a teacher in earth science. He was my earth science teacher. I don't remember his name. The reason why is we had a little interaction that caused me to lose all respect for him as a teacher. I remember looking outside, seeing the weather, and like, wow, I've never seen that happen before with the clouds. I go back to my teacher and I say, hey, Mr. So-and-so, I saw this. What caused that? His statement? He said, well, if you paid attention to my class, you would know. Do you not know who I am? I'm the guy who's getting like an A+ in your class. I pay attention. Obviously, I'm passing all your tests. You're an idiot. Immediately, I lost all respect for the guy. And I was like... And I thought back later, and I spoke with friends, and he did the same thing to other people too. What came to my mind later was thinking, this guy is not passionate about his job. He's just there to get a paycheck. He's not a passionate teacher. And sure enough, the next year he was gone. So he was just a fly-by-night, thought he would do a job or something. I don't know. But then I had another teacher in high school, Mr. Nord. Remember Mr. Nord? He was one of the best teachers ever. Mr. Nord was my math teacher. I was in honors algebra, and I'm a math nerd. I love math. And what Mr. Nord did every single lunch period, because I went to school in Albuquerque, and we had an hour lunch. I don't know how long the lunch hour is here, if it's a full hour or what, but we had almost a full hour there in Albuquerque. And what Mr. Nord did every single lunch hour, the whole school went, like they do here, the whole school went to lunch at the exact same time. And what he would do is he opened up his classroom. If you need help with math, you come to my classroom at lunchtime. Every single day, without fail. Every day. He was there. And you would go into his classroom and you'd see at least a dozen students in there asking him questions and him tutoring them one-on-one, giving them help, and then there'd be three people that have the same question, so he'd go up on the board, okay, listen up, here we go, and all lunch period, he was helping people. And I was one of them on several occasions. Mr. Norton, I don't understand this. Well, let's go over this. What don't you understand? And I walk out of it and be like, thank you. What was the difference between that teacher and the other teacher? Passion. Passion. He had a passion for me to learn. He wanted me to understand Mass so that I could use it in my future. And I had no idea that how I do use it on a regular basis. No idea. I have no idea where Mr. Norton is now, but I am so thankful that God put him in my life and encouraged me the way he did. There's a man who is passionate about what he taught. He was passionate about math and he was passionate about students. So I'm very thankful for that man in my life. Another thing that you should be remembering, another thing is what God has taught you. The past 13 years, can you think of a few life lessons that you've learned? I hope so. I hope you've learned over the past 13 years, first off, what it means to know Jesus as your Savior. I hope you've learned that lesson. If you haven't, you really need to. I hope you've learned what it means to walk with God. If you haven't learned that lesson, I hope that you will soon, because you're going to need that in the future. The immediate future. Like when you leave the house and go to college future. Like weeks future. God has taught you a lot of different things. He's taught you some educational knowledge, which you think, I'll never use that. And you're right, some of it you won't use. I'll promise you that. There's some things that I learned in school that I don't even remember learning. But there's other things that I use on a daily basis. Those are the educational part. But there's also some practical things that you learn in school that your parents taught you, and then you went to school and you did it. Like, your parents taught you it's not nice to smack people in the face. Now, you would do that at home with your brothers, but you knew not to do that at school, or else it was going to be a bad situation, right? You're going to go to the principal's office, the paddle, the whole nine yards, right? It's going to be bad. So you have learned a lot of different life lessons. Let me encourage you to write those lessons down. Go back in your mind and write them down. Why? It's important to remember what God has done for you and what He has done in you and through you. This past week, in our discipleship group, we'll be talking tonight, but without getting into it real deeply, but we read each other's journals. We put our journals online and we read each other's journals. And I was reading Kaylee's journal this past week. And she was thanking God for the different lessons that she learned. And I wrote back a note. I said, let me encourage you to write down every lesson that you can remember that God has taught you this year. And thank Him for it. And worship Him for it. And praise Him for it. Because God is good. And she did the next day. I had to worship my God because of her. Remembered some really cool lessons that God taught me through a young lady. It's very important for you to remember lessons. Church, I don't care how old you are, how young you are. I don't care where you are in life. Write down the lessons that God has taught you. He didn't give them to you just so that you could take them and throw them away and forget about them. He gave them to you so that you would be conformed to the image of His Son. He's given you lessons so that you can grow in Him. He doesn't give those lessons to you on accident. And He doesn't give you those lessons absent-minded. He doesn't, forgot. It doesn't work like that. He gives you a lesson intentional because He expects you to do something with it. Third thing you need to remember. Why has God taught you? What's the purpose? God has given you these lessons. God has used all these people. He taught you these lessons. Why did He do all of that? What's the purpose of it? Here's the reason. It's for your future, but it's also for other futures as well. It's for your future personally and for the future of other people. That's why He's given you the knowledge that He's given you. The skills that you've learned in welding, you are going to use that to have a career in the future. That's only the money part. God has given you principles, godly principles, in which to teach you, where He's used discipleship to teach you. He's used teachers to teach you. He's used a pastor to teach you. He's used different counselors to teach you different lessons in both your lives. Why has He done that? Because He wants you to use that in someone else's life. It wasn't just for you to hold on to and say, "Ha ha, I got it." No, it's for you to take it and realize, this is awesome. My friend so-and-so needs this. And you'll pour it into someone else. The Christian life, I equate it to a vessel. The Bible talks about that we are, our body is a vessel of the Holy Spirit. So I picture it this way. It's a great mental image that God pours into me so He can take me and pour out onto someone else what He just poured into me. So anything that God has given you, regardless of age, regardless of your phase of life, regardless of where you are, when God has given you something, He wants you to use that for someone else. Because that's the ongoing of the goodness of God. God is using you to demonstrate His goodness in someone else's life. When you take what God has given you and you hoard it and don't pour it, you're causing the grace of God to stop with you. Shame on you. God's given you so much, you should be so thankful that you pour it into someone else. Hoard is just a horrible thing. Pour, don't hoard. So why did God give you all those truths? So that you can use that to be a blessing in someone else's life. You have the ability to weld. I was looking at your welds out there and I'm like, I don't know if this is good or bad. I don't know if this is grade A or F. I have no idea. I'm completely ignorant. I'd have to ask another welder. I'd, hey, PD, is this good or bad?
Well, let's not talk about that.
No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea. Okay? What is it? What did it pass? Did all those pass? Just for fun? Those are fun things? Okay. So that fun thing can be a blessing to someone else. Right? Think of the people that you could help with that skill. Right? People that need like a wheelchair ramp. I mean, the list goes on forever. All the skills that you guys have acquired, all the knowledge that you've acquired, all the lessons that you've acquired, God has given them to you so that you can pour them into someone else. That's the purpose of it. That's the purpose. So those are the things I want you to think about. Those are the things I want you to remember. Remember who God has used. Remember what God has taught you. And remember why God has taught you those things. During graduation, remember those things. Then the next one. Graduation should be a time of preparation for the classroom of life. Go ahead and put that next picture up, if you would, Justin. I love this picture. If you can't see it clearly, it's Brother Curtis. He's with Tyler, and they're at the college where Tyler's going to be going to. Tyler's on the computer doing all the stuff, and Curtis is just simply there coaching them, helping them out a little bit. That's a dad helping his son get into college. That's cool. You don't realize how good of a dad you got. But the day will come, you will. You will. That picture speaks volumes, because it's a reminder. In preparation, that you're going to need people. I had you turn to James. Let's go ahead and go there now. Open up to James chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 2. And gentlemen, let me encourage you. If you have never read this passage, read it through and memorize it. When I graduated high school, this was a passage that God put on my heart to memorize, and it completely revolutionized my thinking and my world. It made me realize what life was really going to be about. So James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Not if, not possibly, when it's going to happen. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Preparation. Graduation is for preparation for your future. Life is God's classroom to conform us to Christ. Don't know if you knew that. I'll say it again. Life that we experience, daily living, is God's classroom for us to conform us to the image of Christ. It tells us there, you can read that in Romans 8:29 if you want to go to Romans 8:29, and it tells us there, for whom did he foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God is using daily living as the classroom for you. Now, here's what happens. Now, this is going to hit you guys. I want you guys to grasp this, you graduates. But everyone in the whole congregation, I want you to grasp this as well. Every single day of our life is a classroom setting, period. Now, here's what's really cool. In that classroom setting, in every classroom, you usually have two people in the classroom. And who are those two people? The teacher and the... You guys have been to school before, haven't you? Alright, so those are the two people that are in the classroom. But there is a third person that we didn't really talk about. I'm not talking about God. But what's the third person in the classroom? Your peers. Right? I've never been in a classroom where it's just me and the teacher. When I go in the classroom, it's usually me, the teacher, and other classmates, typically. Did you know that life is the exact same thing? Every day when you go to work, you go to school, it doesn't matter where you go, welcome to the classroom of life. Every day is a moment of school. Now here's what's really cool though. You get to choose what you learn. Jesus is the teacher. And he will teach you what you need to know. Here's what happens though. We walk through life like this, not listening to the voice of God. We don't even hear the voice of God. And so we have no idea what to learn. We face things we don't understand, but we know nothing about it. Have you ever noticed that there's some people that seem to go through the same thing over and over and over and over and over? You know what I'm talking about? There's people like that. And you're just like, dude, when are you going to get it? Am I the only one who knows people like that? You know what I'm talking about? And you just scratch your head, you're like, how long before you get this, man? Could it be that the reason why they're going through this over and over and over and over is because God is simply resisting them because they're not paying attention to Him? It isn't God smacking them and beating them up. God says, I love you so much that you need to get this lesson before you can move on to the next lesson. Open your eyes! Pay attention! I'm trying to get your attention here. And so what happens is they go through the same thing over and over and over again. This is for all of us. What happens when we miss the lesson? The reason why we miss the lesson? Because we've been ignoring the teacher the whole time. That's a convicting statement. God gives us every single day as a classroom. We're supposed to be learning things. But the only way that you can learn something is not by simply coming into the classroom. Like, church is a classroom, if you please. By coming into the classroom, by coming into church and just sitting, and leaving, doesn't mean you learned anything. Today you're going to leave this building. Hopefully soon. Depends on how long I go. How many people are hungry? What lesson would you have learned today? What was the takeaway when you walk out those doors? What's the takeaway that God taught you today? Because if you came in here and you walked out and said, I didn't learn anything, shame on you. You missed the teacher in the midst of the room, and I'm not the teacher. You came to church, but are you going to come to Jesus? It's one thing to come to church, but it's something completely different to come to a building so you can come to Jesus. Right? So the point is, graduates, every single day that you're in college, every single day that you're in your career field, it is a life lesson. There's lessons there to be learned, and it's up to you to listen to your teacher to learn those lessons. So life, when you graduate, as I said, it is preparation. It's to remember, but it's also preparation. In your future, graduates, you're still going to need people. You're still going to need your parents. You may think, they're idiots. They don't know what they're talking about. Hold on. They're smarter than you think. You're going to be turning to them very quickly and saying, I don't know how to do that. How am I supposed to do it? I don't know. You're going to need your parents. You're going to need your parents sitting beside you. You're going to need them counseling you. You're going to need them there, helping you. You're going to need godly, listen closely, godly, passionate friends that love God. You're going to need godly, passionate teachers. Remember we talked about the difference between my two teachers? The one teacher who was not passionate and the other one that was passionate? The one that was passionate changed my life. The one that wasn't passionate changed our relationship real quick. You need to surround yourself with people who are passionate about God. People who love Jesus. If you don't surround yourself with people who truly love Jesus, then you probably won't love Jesus. I'm just telling you. From experience, that's the way it goes. You show me your friends, and I'll show you who you are. And then you also need God Himself. He is your teacher. Remember when He was here on the earth? He said, all the disciples called Him what? Rabbi or teacher, right? He is our teacher. God is our teacher. God Himself is our teacher. He wants to teach us things. He may use teacher aids. He may use people. But He also wants to talk to you personally. Every single one of you in this room. If you do not talk with God on a daily basis, why? Why not? I don't got time. You got time to talk to the Creator of the universe? The Creator of your soul? The Creator of who you are? You don't got time to talk to Him? Well, I don't know what to talk about. I don't know. How about Him? The thing that breaks my heart, and it truly breaks my heart, is that there are people, the majority of people in this world, will live their life being completely content without knowing the God of the creation, the God of the universe, the Savior of your soul, without knowing Him on an intimate basis, that God had created you. The purpose that you are alive, and I don't know if you know this, but the purpose that you are alive is for intimacy with God.
Amen.
That is the main reason for you sucking air this morning.
Amen.
It's so that you can know Him intimately, personally. Not just, He's up there somewhere, He's floating up there, God's watching us at a distance. That's a song back in the 90s or 80s, whenever it was. That's a ridiculous thing. No. Jesus died for us so that He could make a way for us to know the Father in an intimate manner. So that we could enter into the courtroom of God and speak with Him. I'm not talking about just going through a list of prayer, your prayer list. God be with so-and-so, bless so-and-so, be with, bless, 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 all the way down. I'm not talking about that. You're using God as a genie or as a vending machine. Did you know this? God is a person. He has a personality. Did you know that you can actually grieve the heart of God? Did you know you can actually make God sad? Did you know that you can make God happy? Did you know that all the emotions that you experience, guess what? Guess who you got them from? Your Creator, God. He has the same emotions. That's blasphemous. Show me in the Word of God where that's blasphemous. And I'll show you in the Word of God where Jesus knows and feels the infirmities that I feel. Everything I feel, Jesus felt it 100% and more. God is a person. He wants to know you. He's not satisfied with just saying, oh look, you know me as Savior. That's good enough. Checkbox done. No! He wants to know you intimately.
Amen.
Don't you understand that He, if He was okay with just making you as a child and you're saved, and that's good enough, He would have killed you at the point and just taken you to heaven and said, that's enough. He wants to know you in this life. He wants to know you intimately, and He wants you to know Him intimately. He is not content with just you living for Him. He wants you to live with Him. Huge difference. Living for someone requires absolutely no intimacy whatsoever. I can live for someone all day long and never know them. Fine example, military. How many military personnel know the Commander-in-Chief personally? Not very many. But they are following the commands. They are serving their country for the Commander-in-Chief. Let me ask you a question. Are you living for Jesus? Or are you living with Jesus? Huge difference. Huge difference. Each life stage that every single one of us takes, we will graduate from. Every one of us, think about this, marriage. Marriage was the first life stage. First was graduation, right? You graduated high school, then some graduated college, and then some got married. And then some had their first kid, and the list goes on. I mean, we all the different things, new job, new home, moved here, moved there, all the different stages of life. Every stage of life is a graduation. It's a time when you should pause and remember why God let me go through that, what God taught me, who He used in my life, remembering those things, why? So that you can pour into someone else and be ready for the next phase of life with Jesus. Jesus is your teacher. If we go through life every single day and we don't even gain any lessons from the day because we've ignored our teacher, what's going to happen when you get to see God face to face and you're going to go, hi, Jesus, right? Some people, it can be really awkward when that you're saved, you know Christ is your Savior, you've trusted Christ as your Savior, and that's the extent of your relationship with God. You just, that's good enough, I know Him as Savior and we're done. You're going to get to heaven, and it's going to be a real awkward moment then. Really awkward. You're going to be like, I'm the guy you saved, like, you know, many years ago. Yeah, we haven't talked since then, but I. It's going to be awkward. Brother Justin and I were talking one time, and he made a statement that what if the only way that you knew Jesus is by His voice? Some of you will be searching for Jesus in heaven for eternity because you will have no idea what His voice sounds like. That's a judgmental statement. No, it's not. It's an observation. If you don't talk with God on a regular basis, how do you know what He sounds like? I was going to do an illustration, but chose not to. If I were to blindfold all of the teens here and just had different people call them by name, would they know who's calling them? Maybe some, maybe not. But if their parents called them, would they know their name? Yes. Why? That's their parents. They know mom and dad's voice. Did you know Jesus said the same thing? My sheep know my voice and hear me and follow me. Do you know the voice of God today? Do you? He's your teacher. Are you going through the school of life and never interacting with your teacher? Because if you are, I guarantee you're not learning what He wants you to learn. You are missing life lessons that He's trying to teach you because you are not listening to His voice. Here's what breaks my heart. Every person in this room has heard what I just said, and you will leave. Some of you will leave out that door and not even give a second thought about what was said about the voice of God. You will not hunger and thirst after the things of God. And that breaks my heart. The reason why is because God loves you so much. He created you for that purpose. And you are content with living a completely different purpose and living a completely different reason of life. That you forget the God who created you. There's more to life than just doing what you do. There's more to life than just simply graduating, going to college, getting a career, and woohoo, party. There's more to life than that. Intimate relationship with God. There's nothing more satisfying than that. And the reason why is because God created it that way. He created us to need Him, to want Him, and to desire Him. So I'm going to close up with that, with this thought that we shared at the beginning. The purpose of graduation is for remembering and preparing. Every person in here has graduated not just from high school or college, but you've graduated from one life lesson going into a new life lesson. Will you remember what God has taught you? Will you remember the people that God has placed in your life to teach you? Will you remember the purpose that God has taught you for so that you can pour that principle into someone else? And will you use that graduation time to not just reflect and remember, but will you use it to prepare your heart for the future? Father, what's next? What's the next lesson, Father? What am I supposed to learn? Not, why do I have to go through this? It should be, Father, what am I to learn from this? Because you only do good for me. I've said this before. 2020, my dad died from dementia in January before COVID hit. Then COVID hit, and then 2021 had cancer. Had to go through surgery for that. It was one thing after another, it seemed like. I could have very easily said, why is it, why? But instead, I realized how good God was. God allowed my dad to go to heaven before COVID hit, because my dad would have got COVID, he would have suffered and then died. So So God was gracious and allowed my dad before COVID hit. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. God allowed COVID to hit our nation. Many people died, very sad. But it slowed my life down for making me realize that I'm so busy that I'm missing my children growing up. Thank you, Father, for using a pandemic to set my standards and my thinking straight once again. He brought cancer into my life to make me realize the brevity of life, knowing that I could have died. But He chose to spare my life, to give me life, so that I can use my life for others. Thank you, Father, for the gift of cancer. Everything that He does for you, not to you. He loves you too much. He does it for you. It's for His glory, for our good, and for His glory. If you don't remember anything that was said this morning, don't ever forget that statement. It's always for our good and for His glory. Amen. Every time. School of life should teach you it's always for your good and always for His glory. Every single time. Let's bow our head, close our eyes. Stand if you would. We'll have Brother Curtis come to play an invitation. I don't know what your need is this morning. I don't know where your walk is with the Lord. I don't even know if you even know Jesus this morning. Let me ask you this question. I'm going to ask you several questions this morning. And I want you to answer them within your heart truthfully. Do you know God in an intimate way? Do you know Him personally as both Savior and as friend? If not, you can come this morning and come to know Him as Savior and as friend. Second question. Are you simply living for Jesus, or are you living with Jesus? Huge difference. God is not satisfied with you living simply for Him. He wants you to live with Him. He wants you to experience life with Him, hand in hand. And the last question. You've gone through some trials, you've gone through tribulations, you've experienced life. You've experienced some hard things. You graduated. But have you thanked Him for those graduations? Have you thanked Him for those times that He has allowed you to learn so that you can learn so that you can learn? Have you thanked Him for each of those times in your life? Father, I thank You for this morning. Father, I thank You for being You. I love You, Father, for allowing me the opportunity to talk about You this morning. I don't deserve it, but I thank You for it. Father, please search hearts. You know the heart of every person in this room this morning. You know their needs. Father, You know their desires. You know them personally and intimately. But Father, do they know You personally and intimately? I'm asking, Father, please work in hearts this morning. Holy Spirit, move amongst us. The one who is resisting You, the one who is trying to quench You, the one who is trying to hurt You by simply saying no. Please work them over. Help them to see their need for You this morning. Help them to see and understand that You are the God of creation. You are their Savior. You are the God who loves them. Open their eyes this morning to see their need for a relationship with the God who loves them more than they love themselves. Father, please work. I surrender this time in Your hands, begging You to use it and accomplish what You desire. Please don't leave anything undone that needs to be done. May we yield ourselves before You. May we submit. May we surrender today. Beg You. please use this time in the presence of Christ. Amen. The altars are open. Come to Jesus. Don't just come to church.